This is Digital Story Podcast number 504, November 3rd, 2015. Today's theme is, we're gonna make some changes. I'm Derek Story. There are only two directions in publishing, moving forward or falling back. In the last year, I've seen plenty of each. In the moving forward category, the team at Rocky Nook is definitely on the rise. They invested in personnel who have brought new ideas to the company, and their risks are paying off. I'm lucky enough to be part of that change, and I'm excited about their prospects for 2016. As for falling back, I think the old digital story served its purpose, but I have not been feeling the passion that I want from this enterprise. So we're going to shake things up. And as of today, I'm presenting to you a new show. If you like what you hear, I want you to get behind it. So let's get to it. It's not a paperweight. It's a flash. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I want to talk about flash photography for just a moment. So I just finished this new ebook titled Rocky Nook's Guide to Flash Terminology. It's a free download. The link is in the show notes. You can go get it right now. And in it, I illustrate and explain, you know, all sorts of these different flash terms. Like, do you know what a Broly is? If you don't, get the ebook. You can download it for free. So, you know, we all have these things in our camera bag, and I'm talking about flashes. But yet, I feel like that we're often, you know, maybe a little bit too lazy to pull them out and actually use them. And especially with the capability of today's cameras, I'll just jack up the ISO or, you know, do this or that, and I won't have to add any light. I won't have to power up that speed light. So I wanted to mention a technique today that is worthy of powering up the flash. It's twilight portraits. This is one of my favorite flash techniques. Now, I live up here in Northern California, and we have the Golden Gate Bridge, which is the iconic background for a twilight portrait. So you're up at the north viewing area. You have the bridge in the background. It's twilight. The sky is all beautiful and colorful. And then you stand someone, you know, a few feet in front of you, let's say 5 or 6 feet in front of you, and you're going to do a portrait. You're going to do a postcard with a person in it. Now, obviously, if you don't use a flash, that person will be underexposed, right? The background, even though it's twilight, is still brighter than your subject. The Golden Gate Bridge, all lit up at twilight, is still brighter than your subject. So if you don't do something, your subject will be dark and the background will be very nice, or your subject will be properly exposed and the background will get washed out. All right, I don't like either one of those. This is where slow synchro flash comes in. Now, on some cameras that have presets, this can be nighttime flash or nighttime portrait. They have all sorts of little, it's usually like a picture of a person with a star or a moon above their head. It's a great icon, really. So anyway, the way that it works is that the flash fires, but the exposure is measured for the background. So you get both. Now what happens is, because the exposure is measured for the background, you have a very slow shutter speed. A lot of times it'll be something like a tenth of a second, an eighth of a second, somewhere in there. So it's not really handheld photography country. It's better to set the camera down on something, and a tripod is absolutely ideal for this situation. But if you have your camera on the tripod and you use slow synchro flash, what will happen is the flash will illuminate your subject that's within 10 feet, and then the camera will set the rest of the exposure for the background, and you get both. Now, the only complaint I have with this setting is that sometimes the flash is a bit too strong on the subject, a bit too bright. So what I really like to do is use slow synchro flash and flash exposure compensation and dial it down like 2/3 of a stop or something like that, -2/3. then you really pull the exposure of your subject in line with all the wonderful colors that are in the rest of the shot. And I tell you, when you nail these shots, they are absolutely beautiful. Now, the only thing I would say is ask your subject not to move around too much during the exposure. It's true the flash will probably freeze their movement, but sometimes you could get like a little blurriness, a little, you know, you've seen it before. So the ideal situation is if they're not moving, the flash goes off, slow shutter speed, camera's on the tripod, exposure compensation dialed down a bit, voila, a beautiful shot. And that is worth pulling your flash out of the camera bag for a shot that you could not get otherwise. Remember, it's not a paperweight, it's a flash. And don't forget about the free ebook. I really like this ebook. You just go to the Rocky Nook site and you can download it, rockynook.com, or you can go to the link in the show notes. Get your training on. This week's Linda recommendation is Street Photography, The City at Night with Steve Simon. So after you finish your twilight portrait that I just talked about, you might want to explore the mysterious side of the city with a fast lens and your sharp eye. Oh, I couldn't resist that. Steve Simon will provide the inspiration and the technical know-how to help you get the most out of this adventure. It's a terrific training. Steve Simon's fantastic, one of the best street shooters I know. So I have a link directly to it in the show notes. Street Photography, The City at Night with Steve Simon. Or you can just go to lynda.com and search on the title there. Either way, it's well worth your time. Do a combination. You know, get out there a little early, do some twilight portrait work, and then stay and do some night shooting. You'll have a great time, and this will help you prepare for it. In the news, the Olympus OMD EM10 Mark II sails to resume on November 7th. Yay! This is compliments of DP Review, and I have a link here in the show notes. So if you're not up to speed on the story, what happened was when they first released the Mark II for the EM10, the plastic mounted lenses, and there's only like two of them, I think, like the 14 to 42 kit lens has a plastic mount, not the easy, but the kit lens. So anyway, there was a problem with those lenses on the original release of the Mark II, and that I guess you couldn't get them off or something would break or something like that. It was bad, whatever it was. Now, I don't use either of those lenses, so, and I have the original EM10 Mark II for testing, so I didn't encounter that problem. But Olympus did the right thing. They pulled the camera off the market, they fixed the problem, and now they're releasing it on November 7th. This is a great camera. It's a good value. It's got a lot of tech in it. Very light, very portable, super nimble. It's terrific, and I'm glad to see it back on the market. World-famous Instagram model Asena O'Neill quits social media. And this is F-Stopper's original article. I have the link in the show notes. Since about the age of 15, O'Neill had cultivated an identity of false perfection that she obsessively shared with the world and filled an endless need to acquire more validation through social media. She is now redirecting her career to speak about how the creation of this fake persona was based completely on physical appearance and has had a tremendously negative impact on both the perception of her own self-worth as well as starving her from experiencing life outside of social media. And she had garnered well over 500,000 followers on Instagram, lots and lots of likes. We've all seen these types of posters where, you know, you have just this beautiful woman who is in selfie mode and is just posting these gorgeous pictures of herself and then really just raking in the likes and raking in the followers. And in this case here, she's stepping away from that. I think she's left some photos on, but she's taken a lot of them down, and she's just going to, you know, redirect her life, redirect her career. It's fascinating how all the fanfare sometimes just isn't, you know, the thing that fulfills you. And I don't know, I like the story, and I just want to tip my hat to her for, you know, making the change and coming out, and it'd be interesting to see where she goes from here. The link is in the show notes. Go over to the F-Stopper site and take a look at it. The rest of the story, it's really quite fascinating. Gear we like. Ooh, I have a good one. So I'm going to start out by telling you, I want this one. I want this one. I'll read you the blurb on it and I'll talk about it. The Tenba Cooper Luxury Canvas 13 Slim Camera Bag with Leather Accents. And it will sell for $229. I have a link to it that'll take you directly to B&H. It's not for sale there yet, but you can click the button, notify me when it's in stock. It should be in stock here before too long. So when I saw this bag, I go, boy, this is a messenger bag I could really get into. The exterior features peach wax cotton canvas, 20% polyester reinforcement, with 2x water repellent PU coating, waterproof full grain leather base, and accents. And the accents are nice. They're, you know, like nickel zipper pulls and things like that. I mean, really, really well done. Inside, you'll find silicon-coated, water-repellent, ripstop nylon, and soft brush tricot. The hardware is YKK zippers with hand-riveted, full-grain leather zipper pulls. I mean, this is... I know. We're photographers, right? We get excited about these sort of things. The Cooper 13 Slim accommodates a mirrorless camera with 3 to 5 lenses, or a DSLR with 2 to 3 lenses, up to 70 to 200 millimeter f/2.8. The rear padded sleeve will hold a laptop up to 13 inches. So there's 4 sizes on these Coopers, and this is the second smallest one. The smallest one is a mirrorless bag also, and it just holds an iPad. This one will hold an iPad and or a 13-inch laptop, which to me is interesting. I carry a 13-inch MacBook Pro, and so this would be a bag that I could use in a lot of different circumstances. But it's slim, and what it means by that, it doesn't stick out far from your body, and that's because it's designed mainly for mirrorless cameras. And it looks really good, not being, you know, this kind of this fat, kind of bulgy sort of thing. It's very lean. It's very stylish. All the accents are beautiful. And, I mean, it's one of those things that you can take, as they say, in the boardroom or on the boardwalk kind of deals. Now, they also make another 13-inch that is for DSLRs that's fatter. It's a fatter bag to accommodate a pro DSLR. And then they have one bag up. There's 4 in the series that accommodates a 15-inch laptop and a DSLR kit. And that one's getting pretty big. Now, for nimble photographers, I think the two smaller ones are the way to go. And I think the one that I'm talking about here, the Slim, the 13 Slim, for mirrorless, is really just a sweet spot in camera bags. I went ahead and put my name on the wish list for this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pony up for it or not when the time comes, but who knows? I might get a windfall, right? I might get a portrait job that comes out of nowhere that I could put all that money into a camera bag. Anyway, that is this week's Gear We Like. It's the Tenba Cooper Luxury Canvas 13 Slim Camera Bag with Leather Accents. There's a link here. Take a look at it. If you're shopping for a camera bag, you really want to treat yourself, or maybe, you know, someone that's really nice to you, and see what you think. Support this show. So this is something new. I want to read you the spot here, and I'll talk a bit about it. What does John, Christopher, Ed, Craig, Edward, Tim, Kevin, Larry, Thomas, Byron, Gary, Randall, and Sean all have in common. They have pledged their support to this podcast by becoming independent online supporters. Their support of independent online publishing has helped us fund our latest server upgrade to ensure that this content reaches anyone who wishes to listen. You can do your part today by clicking on the sponsorship tab at the top of the digitalstory.com. So this is something that I started a couple weeks ago, and I wrote about it, I think, initially on the Nimble Photographer, and I did a post on Digital Story too. And it was very interesting, the response that I got. All the names that I read you, those are people that as soon as I put this up, they pledged. And we immediately used the money that they pledged to do a server upgrade, to actually change to a different server so that we could better serve this podcast. And we needed to upgrade, as always happens, you know, with these sort of things. And I kind of started a whole thing about independent online publishing. There are some of us out there that are totally independent. We're not part of some corporation. We're not a big business. We're not owned by someone like Amazon, anything like that. This is my day job. Right here, what I'm doing right now, this is my day job. So my thing to you is, if you like this podcast, if you want to go another 500, I'm going to keep working on it. I'm going to keep improving it. I'm going to keep all the under the hood stuff going. I'm going to do everything that I can do to make this the best production possible. Then go to that page. Go to the sponsorship page on the Digital Story. Read about it. There's a link. And you can go right to a page where you can just do your pledge right there. It's easy. It only takes a minute. And it really helps out. Member quote of the week. Intelligent comments culled from the Digital Story Facebook page. In regard to my post, Why I Take My Bag to Breakfast, Steve Blazevich writes, I always go straight home after I'm done shooting what I have to. I can't stand the idea of going into a store while leaving my camera bag in the car. Most times it's not practical either for me to carry everything into the store. I should look into a better bag. Well, Steve, I agree. If you get yourself a Nimble bag, maybe that Tenba I was talking about, you won't have to rush home after each shoot. And that was kind of the thrust of that post on the Nimble Photographer, Why I Take My Bag to Breakfast, is that I don't leave my stuff in the car. And when I'm traveling, I rarely leave it in the hotel room. So the whole idea, the whole concept is to travel light enough to where you can have a bag that you can bring with you with all your important stuff, and you can take it into Starbucks. You can take it on the bus. You could take it to breakfast. You can take it wherever you go. It doesn't take up a lot of room. A lot of times, even if I'm sitting at a table with a lot of other people, I just set it down on the floor, you know, between my legs and keep an eye on it. But by doing so, then I'm reducing my risk of having my stuff stolen. And you could argue, well, what if someone, you know, robs you? Well, that's an act of violence. And, you know, in all honesty, that does happen. But I think people being sneaky and stealing your stuff happens far more than someone coming up to you and trying to wrestle your stuff away from you. I acknowledge that that does happen. But along those lines, I will say, then, you know, another good idea is to have a camera bag that, you know, maybe doesn't scream camera bag too. You know, kind of try to go as nondescript as possible. There's always risk when you have gear, right? Whether you have it with you or whether you leave it behind. My experience has been, and I talk about this in the post on the Nimble Photographer, is that far more bad things happen when you're separated from your gear than when you're carrying it with you. Post your thoughts on our Facebook page. Believe me, I read them. Software download. Camera app saves photos and video directly to the cloud. The newly released camera app aims to make things easier by uploading images and video straight to the cloud as you shoot. The added bonus is that you can keep shooting even if you're out of storage, as camera never stores files locally. A free camera account offers up to 5 gigabytes of storage space, but 99 cents a month buys you a full 100 gigabytes. If you'd like to give the app and service a closer look, you can download Camera Now from Google Play and from the Apple App Store. And that little heads up was via DP Connect. So this is interesting, and especially for those who are buying 16 gigabyte iPhones. You know, Apple continues to have the 16 gigabyte model in the lineup because it gives the most affordable option, and some folks don't want to spend the extra money for the 64 or 128 gigabyte models. But if you do that and you like taking pictures, and especially if you like shooting video, you're going to run into a problem. I know this. I know many people that have 16 gigabyte models that are constantly battling, you know, lack of storage space. So this is clever, this camera app, C-A-M-R-A, because if you use it and you subscribe to their service, which is $12 a year, far less than moving up from 16 gigabytes to 64 gigabytes on an iPhone or comparable device, then when you're shooting pictures and you're out of space, they can go right into your cloud account and you can view them from any number of places. Now, performance, connectivity, all that stuff, well, yes, I would say there's an asterisk there because all those variables that we run into still apply, right? I mean, under ideal conditions, it's probably fantastic. Under challenging conditions, you may have to use the space on your phone. You know, I'm sure there are times when it doesn't work perfectly. But I think it's an interesting idea, and especially for folks that don't have a lot of free space on their mobile devices. It's available for Android, it's available for iOS. I think it's a clever idea. If you give it a try, go ahead and post a comment on our Facebook page where I talk about this podcast and, you know, let me know, you know, what you think about it. And just in general, if you have a comment about any of this stuff, post it on our Facebook page. It's, you know, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. It's a great place. The number of posts go there a day. And I'm going to start bringing more and more of your comments and your feedback into this podcast as part of, you know, what we're doing right now. You know, the more the merrier, chime in. But that's this week's software download, Camera. It looks interesting. It really does. What the heck? My inaugural what the heck goes to the development team at Apple, responsible for photos for OS X. Why don't you give us star ratings? Really? You've created this beautiful editing interface and integrated cloud connectivity, and yet you refuse to provide a reasonable method for enthusiast photographers to rate their images. I'm begging you. Get off the stick and give us a front end that's deserving of the genius that we see in other parts of the app. It's not too late. We're asking you to please give us the tools we need to do our job. And that is this week's What the Heck. How long should you let your inkjet prints dry? Red River Paper posts in their latest newsletter, quote, "As a general rule, you can handle and work with your photo inkjet prints as soon as they come out of your printer. They are dry to the touch, but in reality, it takes about 24 hours for an inkjet print to fully cure and dry." So that's just something to keep in mind, especially if you're going to be framing or you know, using the print in some way. The ideal situation, according to Red River Paper, is to go ahead and make your print, and then if you could let it, you know, cure overnight, and then go ahead and frame it the next morning or put it behind glass, whatever you're doing, that's the ideal situation, to let it fully cure. Then when you mount it or do whatever you're going to do, then you know that, you know, everything is, you know, bonded with the paper there. And I should mention that, you know, Red River Paper is our longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. They have their own great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And they have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. And of course, a link right here in the show notes. Found in the bottom of the bag. This little blurb here, found in the bottom of the bag. When you dig around the bottom of your camera bag, or if you're a female type, dig around the bottom of your purse. You know what I'm talking about. So I got, these are like the bits and bobs, the little goodies that don't warrant full stories. I've added the Walking Man flask set to the Nimble Photographer store. So yes, it's true. This is a 6-ounce metal container that has a matte finish, a gorgeous matte finish with a silver Walking Man logo on the top. And it comes with a funnel. You could put anything you want in those 6 ounces, and it fits perfectly in the front pocket of the Walking Man shoulder bag. It is really cool. Just go over there and take a look at it in the Nimble store, and I have a link to it in the show notes here. The Eastern Sierra Fall Color Workshop holds the top spot on the TDS 2016 Workshops Reserve List. So 2 weeks in a row, the Eastern Sierra Fall Color Workshop has the most names on the reserve list. The other three are close behind, and it could change at any time. But right now, Eastern Sierra on top of the reserve list. And of course, you can read all about the 2016 workshop season by going to thedigitalstory.com and clicking on the workshops. If you want to get on the reserve list, which gives you first crack at that particular workshop, just use the send me info form. It's only 3 fields, only take you a minute to fill it out. Really like 15 seconds. And if you plan on ordering through B&H Photo or Amazon, please stop by the Digital Story site first. Click on the respective ad tile, and they're in the second column there. Then when you go over to the site, search for whatever you want, place your order. That helps support our site. All right, that is going to do it for this week. New music, new format, same me, I'm here. But, you know, I just really felt that things were starting to get in a rut a bit. And in all honesty, the numbers, you know, the downloads have felt, you know, very flat lately. You know, nothing, no upward trending at all. Comments about the show have been, you know, more quiet on Facebook. And, you know, you get to a point, and it's like I said at the top of the show, where you're either moving forward or you feel like you're sliding back. And, you know, the one thing I do not want to do with the show, I love this show, I've got over 500 episodes invested in the show, is I don't want to slide back. I want to keep us moving forward. And so that is what I'm trying to do with this you know, adjusted format here. And I'm going to continue to look at new ways to improve what I can present to you. You guys and gals mean the world to me. And I want to make sure that the half an hour or so that you spend with me each week is valuable and so exciting that you actually tell everyone you know to subscribe to the podcast. All right, we'll refine a little bit more next week and keep going down this road. I hope you enjoyed it. See you next week. Thanks for stopping by.